Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today we're going to take up the second reason that Peter gives for the trials that God brings into our lives. Why does God allow suffering? And the fact is, He has wise and gracious purposes in the suffering of His children, and we need to understand that so that we don't get all disconcerted when trials come, and particularly so that we don't think that we are suffering trials because we have failed in our performance. Now, I say we shouldn't get all disconcerted about that. I don't mean to say that we should not evaluate our hearts and lives and ask God if there's something that He particularly is trying to teach us, and that's the reason that He brought this trial. I think it's perfectly legitimate to do that. In fact, I think it is wise to do that. But we need to understand that punishment is only one of many reasons for trials, and Peter doesn't even mention that one here, or correction or chastisement, or whatever you want to call it, is in fact one reason for trials. You'll find that elsewhere in the Scriptures, but you will not find that in 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, there are only two reasons for trials that are given here. And the first one has to do with testing our faith, and the second one involves bringing us commendation. And that's a strange one indeed. So we'll have to look at that in a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, January 23rd edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thanks for the financial support that keeps this Bible teaching ministry on the air. Well, 1 Peter 1:6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, the first reason for our trials is to test our faith, or we might say to validate our faith and to improve our faith. Both of those things are involved in the idea of testing. The testing here is the concept of refining. Testing in order to improve and to refine. A good test will do that, you know, if we're talking about tests at school. A test is not simply to give you a grade on the work that you have done, though it does serve that purpose, but a well-designed test will help to solidify what you have been studying, will help to organize that material in your mind, will enhance whatever has gone into the course up until the time of the test. The test is part of the learning process, if it is properly designed. And God's tests are part of the learning process, the various ways to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Word of God, hearing the Word, applying the Word, coming to a greater understanding of the Word of God is the foundation of our Christian growth. What does it mean to grow in the grace and knowledge, understanding the Scriptures? the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, meaning the person and work of Christ. And in a sense, that's what the whole Bible's about. And so as we study the Word of God, we come to a better understanding of Christ and of His work. And there is a simplicity in that, and there is a complexity in that. And don't stop at the simplicity. Grow. Grow, grow, grow in the complexity. So learn as much as you can about the gospel. That is a subject which will keep you busy studying for the rest of your life if you undertake it seriously and understand what direction to go with that. And I hope you do have enough exposure to good theology to know how to explore the nuances and complexities of the gospel for the remainder of your life. So the gospel has a great simplicity, so that even a child, aided by the Holy Spirit, can understand and embrace the gospel to the saving of his soul. Nobody does it apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, child or adult. But there is enough in the gospel to keep the most learned scholar with the greatest education and the highest IQ studying, learning, growing, absorbing for the rest of his life, and I think it's very likely that we're going to continue doing that in heaven. So, studying the Word of God is a way to grow in grace, but the tests that God brings into our lives are also part of the process. When I was in school, a long time ago, I never really looked forward to tests. I don't suppose you did either. They brought a certain amount of apprehension, sometimes a knot in my stomach, sometimes some sleepless nights, sometimes a measure of worry, and usually all of these things unnecessary because fear of the test usually turned out to be worse than the test itself. But nobody really likes a test, I don't think. I may be wrong about that. Maybe some people do, but I really have not met any. Nearly everybody would like to avoid a test if possible, but in school it usually is not possible, and I promise you that in the Christian life it absolutely is not possible. You can't avoid the tests. They're part of our Christian life. They're not just brought into our lives as chastening, as discipline, as punishment, but they are brought into our lives to validate and grow our faith, as we have already learned. But there's a second reason. That's the last part of verse 7. It's what I've called to bring us commendation. It talks about our faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Think about that. Our faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that in many respects, there's not a great deal of reward for our faith now. If there were, everybody'd want to get on the bandwagon. Faith is something we exercise that pleases God, and if it were easy and were lucrative, obviously and immediately rewarding, then it wouldn't take a lot of faith to serve the Lord. The very fact that serving the Lord is not always immediately rewarding is the very thing that requires us to exercise faith. We have to believe the promises of God. We have to believe what the Bible tells us about heaven and the wonders of that and the rewards that will come to us in that day. And that's what this is talking about. There may not be a great deal of reward for our faith now, but just wait, because at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is, at the last day, there is going to be great reward. And the truth is that God's purposes and trials will not be fully revealed until that day. But in that day, when Christ returns and our salvation is complete, our redemption is fulfilled. Remember I talked, I think it was yesterday or one day last week, about the three stages of salvation. And the final stage is when the Lord returns and our bodies are raised glorified from the grave. And at that time, we will understand everything that God has accomplished through our suffering. And there will be praise and glory and honor. Praise is public recognition and approval. And this is talking about God's praise of genuine faith. That is a marvelous idea, and one that we don't talk about very often, but that is what is in the text. Again, 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found. Your faith still holding fast, still present, still operating, still fastening itself upon Christ and upon His Word, that your faith may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the praise, honor, and glory of God. We're more familiar, I suppose, with the text that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." What is that? That's God's praise, God's commendation on our faith. You go back and find where that phrase is found in the Bible, and you will find that it's in the words of Christ at the conclusion of a parable about some faithful servants of Christ who took the talents that they had been given and multiplied them for the Lord's honor and glory. And of course, to do that, they had to have faith. They had to believe that there would be a day of reward, that this would be worthwhile. And that's what the Bible teaches us. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Every trial, every sacrifice, every suffering has a grand and glorious purpose, which will be revealed at the last day. And when that day comes, the faith of God's children will be commended by God. He will praise it. And then we will participate in Christ's glory, and we will enjoy honor from God, that is high rank, and all of that because our faith was tested. So what are we talking about? We're talking about why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow suffering? Because it is suffering that validates and strengthens our faith, number one, and it is suffering that brings us the commendation of God when we stand before the Lord someday. A faith that hasn't been tested doesn't earn much commendation. A faith that is greatly tested will earn great commendation. So, dear child of God, are you suffering a difficult trial right now? Thank God for the privilege and for what it is doing for you. And give God praise. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.